This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
You are listening to Saturday Magazine, the reprise edition of the top five podcast downloaded by our show listeners in 2019. This is Sally Capp, Lord Mayor of Melbourne.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Sally Capp is our Lord Mayor, our favourite Lord Mayor, the first directly elected female Lord Mayor in the City of Melbourne. That must still feel good. How long is it now, Sally?
Oh, it's just over 10 months.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And it's been amazing.
You haven't had a first year anniversary yet?
Not yet.
It seems like you've always been there.
I've actually met two Prime Ministers in my 10 months, and maybe it might be a third.
I was going to say, sometimes that only takes a week.
Actually, you will squeeze in a third.
Yeah.
Well, you may not get to meet them, but you probably will.
Yeah. That's Tass's phone. Tass hasn't been gone so long. There's a lot to talk about this morning, Sally, and one of the things that I... Look, let's get Highline out of the way. What's happening with Highline? Why don't the council do what I want?
Well, I've heard that Tass has just been in New York.
I have.
Walking the Highline.
I have. And I thought about you virtually all the way. Except for the occasion. Except for the occasion where you cross one of the streets. I forget which one it is. But you have a full access view to the Hudson River. And there was a cold wind coming off the river, and I think it felt like minus 16 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
It was absolutely bitter. My nose and lips went blue.
Blue. Ooh. Well, we can't stop the wind.
No.
But I'm sure that it was still a fantastic experience. And our council team is still working away on the concept, and I'm looking forward to seeing the next iteration. So it is underway.
Great.
And it's also going to be a fantastic way that we can incorporate our Aboriginal history into the storytelling along
that's
the
really
river as well, which
really
will be
important.
Great. Yeah.
And the one thing that I think it's going to have the biggest impact on is congestion in the city. And I don't mean congestion by cars, which is a problem and an issue, but pedestrian congestion. It's going to make a huge difference to that if it happens as we would like it to happen.
Well, the evidence shows us that the biggest congestion issue that the City of Melbourne has is actually on our footpaths. Mm. 89% of the trips done around the city are done by foot, and we have 24% of the space available for our pedestrians. So there's something out of whack there. But you can imagine, of course...
But pedestrians are smaller than cars.
There are a lot more of them.
I know.
So
that's a very good argument to actually take.
Yeah, well, everything's about balance, isn't it? And, of course, as our train system keeps evolving and the Melbourne Metro is well underway, as you know, actually the majority of the 950,000 people that come in and out of the city every day come in by train, and then, of course, their trips around the city are mostly done by foot. So it's really about looking at the evidence. You mentioned that in your intro.
It's very important.
And responding to the evidence, and so our draft transport strategy comes out in a few weeks, and it's been very much based on evidence, and we've also had more community feedback than any other strategy that we've done. So I'm really looking forward to seeing it myself and seeing how the team has incorporated those two things into some strategies for the future.
Sally, two things. I happen to walk from the gallery into Flinders Street.
Lovely.
And that new walkway over the bridge is just spectacular.
Do you like it?
Beautiful. Oh, good. Mm. Well, beautiful, beautiful.
I am just so pleased that we're going to be able to move away from those red and white. Security.
Some more interesting designed proper bollards. Yep.
And the bollards they've been the subject of much discussion with Heritage Victoria, and we've done that project in consultation because that is one of the prime heritage spots. That bridge is just magnificent, and two, it is our most photographed place in Melbourne is on the bridge there.
Is
so
it really? Wow.
Having something that's spectacular, and the bollards have been designed in consultation with Heritage Victoria and very much pick up the arches of the bridge work. So I think they look great too. Oh,
it was a lovely Thursday morning. It was sunny. There were people meandering.
Saturday.
Well, today is, but I walked on Thursday.
There were
people meandering along the path, and there were people sitting on the blocks, you know, on the phone, checking their notes, somebody reading the paper.
Walking into each other.
It actually looked really good. Now, they were doing that because the opposite side was closed down because they're still building that. So very cleverly, they built one, shut the other one down while they construct that and vice versa. Yeah. So I think it's actually very, very successful. But I was going to say the thing that doesn't work for me is the configuration of the super tram stops.
Mm.
First of all, I think the barriers are not pedestrian friendly. They usually allow a 2 or 3 metre gap for hordes of people to get on and off super tram stops. I think they should remove those altogether. Cars should actually be made to make way for people. And secondly, the trams have to stop at every traffic intersection anyway, but they can't collect passengers or dispatch passengers till you actually get off at a stop. There's something not quite right about the synchronisation of traffic lights.
So the thing is, if you want to get on a tram here, you have to get on the tram.
That's why Vic Roads and PTV should come together.
That's it.
Well, what they do is they put tram stops out in Moorabbark or something. If you wanted to travel the tram up Bourke Street to the top, you have to get on at Swanston Street. You can't get on at Russell Street. And you don't get on, you know, like it's two blocks. So
it's good for you, Macca.
Yeah, I know. No, look, and I do use the trams in the city. I do. And I understand that ultimately cars' place in the city is going to be further, I wouldn't say restricted, but it's going to be, you know, it'll be more and more difficult.
Get the cars out of the city, I say.
But one of the
challenges. Do you agree with that, Macca?
Look, I think.
I heard you say yeah.
I do. I still believe, you know, the challenge is, and, you know, where I live, just slightly the other side of Bell Street, the challenge is if I wanted to catch public transport into Joy, right, I'm actually 1.5 kilometres from the nearest station or tram. So it's not an easy option. If it was closer, I'd be very happy to catch the tram in or the train in. But there are people that work in the city that still drive in. Now, whether public transport is a real option for them or not, I don't know, but it's the huge numbers that do. How are we going to deal with that? And particularly because, you know, it's a revenue item in terms of, you know, the CBD parking, you know, the off-street parking tax. It's a revenue issue as well. So how are we going to deal with those numbers of cars?
Well, look, we don't really consider it in terms of a revenue strategy at this point. It's really about balancing those modes of transport. And the fact is we will always need to be able to welcome cars and trucks and tradies, emergency services, etc., into the city. So it really is about balance. But just as another interesting fun fact, 43% of the traffic in the city at any one time is through traffic.
I know, and I used to be one
of
those.
If we could stop the through traffic, it would actually help everybody else that's coming into the city to do business by car, because it would free up the congestion. And
so
that's
better ring
really
roads. We need better ring roads.
Well, no, don't let Vic Roads mess with places like they did the Balti Bridge. They messed it up completely. Ask anyone that uses that road and the on-ramps and things that they've put in, you know, with the traffic lights, right, where you have two lines of traffic adjoining two lines of traffic. They're not merging. yet Vic Roads have traffic lights to stagger the flow. That traffic is not merging like that.
Your knowledge of our on-ramp system in Melbourne is quite
It's disturbing. But, you know, I accept, 43, you know, if nearly half the traffic is coming through the city, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And so, the reason is because the rest of the roads aren't working properly.
So, Sally, you are in the middle of developing a transport strategy. Yes. Tell us a bit more about that and what are its objectives?
Well, it's coming up in a few weeks. As I said, it's a strategy that's had more public feedback than we've ever received before, which is fantastic. And it really does look at those balancing issues, and we're acknowledging that the most efficient form of transport into the city is trains, and having that focus around our train station. So I was interested that you raised Flinders Street. You must have been listening into one of our council discussions this week, because huge. I'm just trying to. Oh, there's all sorts of instructions going on here today. The large number of people that are coming into the city by trains, and then the way that they move around our train stations is really putting a lot of pressure on those parts of our city. And it's all of those major stations. And as you know, with Melbourne Metro 1, we're going to have even more. So a big focus is really understanding, as I said, what is the evidence about how people are coming into the city and moving around the city, and then responding accordingly. And it's safety. It's safety as well as a number one issue for our pedestrians. Safety is a big issue. If they don't have enough space on our pavements, they're spilling out onto the roads, as you mentioned, around Flinders Street Station. And we're really worried about that. But, of course, we've extended that forecourt at Flinders Street Station by 130 square metres, if that makes sense to anybody out there. But we've really extended that corner out and taken up, actually, a lane of traffic there, and included a new bike lane. And we do feel that that is working much better than previously, when you have those really tens of thousands, but it's really hundreds of thousands of people coming out of our train stations every day.
I can't wait for the Vic government's new bicycle path down St Kilda Road.
Good. I didn't know you were a bicycle rider as well.
I am a bicycle rider.
He actually rides his bicycle faster than he drives. He's a bit of a nonner.
Thanks, Macca. Now, I do like cycling. I find cycling an easy way to get around. Mm. And one of the things that I enjoy doing when I'm overseas is hiring a bike and using that as my means of transport around the city.
It's one of the things we do as well. We always try and find local bikes that we can use, or go on a bicycle tour. It gives you a very local view of a city, and we always go to the local market as well.
Now, speaking about markets,
one
of the great things, you know, that I think is happening is Queen Victoria Market is back on track, the renewal. And I will say I'm very pleased that, you know, again, this is based on consultation. And some of the consultation was around actually people being able to park. And I think that's really important, you know, to get there.
Yeah.
But it's the vitality and the centrality of that market. It's got to be one of Melbourne City Council's biggest cultural assets, I think.
I agree. I think it's so important, and it's a precinct, but it's a precinct within our fastest growing neighbourhood here in the city of Melbourne. In fact, on Thursday, I got to do my first topping out ceremony, which is...
Topping out?
It's when a building gets to its
highest point. Oh, to reach its maximum point.
Yes. And it is our newest, tallest building in Melbourne as well. It's called Aurora, and you can probably just see it out of the window there. It's across from the State Library and Melbourne Central. Absolutely fantastic. And we're on level 92. And, of course, the proximity of that building to Queen Victoria Market, there are 1,200 apartments in that building. So lots of new residents moving in, and I'm hoping all of them, as well as everybody else that's in the city and beyond, considers Queen Victoria Market to be their local shopping destination. That's really what we need because, as we just said, the international visitors come and it's one of our most popular places for international visitors, but they come because they're seeking the local character. So we need to be there supporting that market as locals for it to actually be appealing to our tourists and visitors as well. And the great thing about the unanimous vote on Tuesday to be able to move forward with renewal, which is fantastic, is that we really can get on with it, and there's that sense of energy and direction and confidence about the future, and I think that's just a wonderful thing for that iconic place.
And I read about the plans, and I thought they sounded great, actually.
Yeah, and I love
congratulations.
The Market Square, you know, this 1.5 hectares of new open space. That is just such a great initiative because, you know, whilst there's a lot of people walking around, you actually need places where people can, I suppose, chill a little bit and sit down and repack their shopping jeeps. And
well, you love words. One of my favourite words is dwell.
Dwell.
And so you're right, it is a place to dwell. Market Square will be fantastic for that. But also, as we have more people coming to use that space, and again, more residents and workers particularly, where you can have those big open spaces to for the community to be able to conduct activities, for there to be festivals and for people to dwell, as you said. And again, there'll be some lovely references on Market Square to the history of the market. And of course, there is a cemetery there, so there'll be some references to that as well. So it'll be really interesting.
Now, a couple of quick things, Sally, that we spoke about Tim Lennox. Ricardo, the newsreader on SBS, started his newsreading at Joy as Ricky G. Ricky G.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
We've got a couple of questions for you, though, from our listeners. One of the questions asks, are there any plans to move Bunjil, that's the Dockland statue, to somewhere that where Bunjil is not crowded out as a result of all the development taking place?
It is busy down there at the moment, but ultimately when that development is finished, it's going to, again, be just a wonderful promenade. I don't know about any plans to move Bunjil, and what we're looking forward to as that development evolves is we will see more people walking around and enjoying that part of Docklands, and better connections down to the river and the waterfront. So I think Bunjil's going to be okay. It's just that it's very busy down there at the moment.
Now, speaking about the river and the waterfront, you're not worried about I suppose the Apple Store, which I think is a good example of Brummagen. And if you don't know what Brummagen means, it means not genuine, cheap, showy and tawdry, which I think the Apple Store would have been. Now, I know you've been a big supporter of the Apple Store. What's the next step now? Heritage Victoria's gone, nah, not going to happen. So what happens? Can we perhaps put it on a houseboat and float it out into the bay? What are we going to do with
the Apple or the Yarra building? Which bit are you talking about?
No, the Apple. Well, actually, the Yarra building, yeah, I agree with tearing that down. But the Apple store, it's not going to happen, is it?
No. They've walked away and said, look, it's all too hard. And we did put, or the state government put a number of options to Apple to try to keep that investment. And what we've seen in many other major cities around the world, they can be a place that attracts people. So we did try a number of other locations, but unfortunately we weren't able to make that happen. And yes, Heritage Victoria have rejected the state government and Fed Square, actually, Fed Square's application to pull down the Yarra building.
Are you surprised?
Well, I think what we've seen over this whole process is really, I think, a very public debate where people have very strongly, or the community have very strongly said they consider Fed Square to be a civic and cultural space, not commercial. That does have all sorts of implications for the square because it's got to be able to pay for itself and maintain itself, and that is through commercial ventures. And, of course, there's a 7-Eleven there and a Beer Deluxe and all sorts of other restaurants. And that actually, I think, adds a lot to the vibrancy because people do come there to dwell and to eat and drink and enjoy themselves. But the fact is that given that the outcome from Heritage Victoria Victoria, the state government has announced a review of Fed Square. And I think that really does reflect that fierce debate about how people see Fed Square. And you've got to say it's evolved amazingly from a place that people criticised roundly right at the start when it was built to something that is now so embraced as to people wanting it put onto our heritage register. So it's worthy of the debate, it's worthy of consultation and a review, which is what the state government has announced. And we're really looking forward to working with them on that because we're highly ambitious about that amazing space.
Of course, not all public open space has to generate revenue. So, you know, at the end of the day, if we want...
Well, if it does, if that's the business model by which it's been set up, and well, that's Fed Square's business
model. Yeah, but you can change your business model.
Well, of course you can.
You're talking about
a couple of million bucks a year.
You're talking about a couple of million bucks a year.
No, it's more than that.
Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. We were just talking markets. Tass is a bit of a South Melbourne market dweller.
I am.
Because it's closer.
I've been going there, Macca, for about 30 years.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a pram market fan, but I haven't been for quite a while.
I'm looking a bit tired, I think.
Yeah. City of Stonington need to spend some money on it.
Talk to Steve about that.
They're spending all their money on Cato Square.
He might send you an email.
So, Steve, we need Pran Market, needs a bit of a touch-up.
But South Melbourne Market now, they, you know, any time of the week that you go there, there are jazz bands, there's bars, there's restaurants, there's hawker halls, there's... It is such a vibrant, exciting place. It's no longer a place to just go and shop. It's now a destination.
Yeah, I agree. It's a place to dwell. It's fantastic. And,
and what we love doing, we love turning up with our shopping basket.
Yes.
And do a bit of shopping, stop, have some
oysters. We should actually have a fashion show during midsummer for people's shopping baskets. There's some very different ones out there, aren't there?
Yeah. I know. Ever since the no plastic thing, we're all forced to carry around daggy bags.
Good. I'm going to be going to
Look good.
I'm going to be going to Preston Market during the week.
Oh,
yes, I've been promising myself to go there, so I'm going to go there during the week and check it out because I've got time to do that stuff now.
Oh, how is that new phase in your life going?
It's look, I'm actually pretty busy. It's sort of
you were busy pruning an olive tree on Wednesday.
Oh yes. Tass came over and we pruned the olive tree and harvested it and got two huge jars of olives, which I'll apparently get in about 6 months. I'll get half of them. But, yeah, the backyard's been transformed, completely transformed. So it's wonderful. Yeah, so that every week I bake a cake.
A different one.
Ooh, yes,
what
I did.
What was last week?
I did patty cakes, although some might call them fairy cakes, during the week. Which Tass got some to go away with.
Yeah, they were very nice.
But no, I'm loving it. It's actually time to contemplate. But every day there's something happening. My diary is planned out.
It's amazing, isn't it?
There's something. I didn't have time to have a full-time job. I don't know how I did it.
Yeah. I think you could set up a stall at Queen Vic Market with cakes and olives.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about the...
Not enough olives. We haven't got enough. Not yet, anyway.
No.
So, Sally, back to you.
Yeah.
What else is hot on your agenda at the moment? What's keeping you really busy?
Well, Queen Victoria Market obviously has been an enormous project and will be ongoing. We've had a fantastic time over March with all of those major events, and the comedy festival continues. And really, I know I just mentioned it, but it's just fabulous. There are 233 people that are performing for the first time. And I just think how brave they are, because comedy is one of those performances and where you get immediate feedback. I think you can feel it straight away if people are responding to your humour or not, but they've got to keep going. And so I really admire all of those people, and of course they are more experienced performers going for it as well. So that is all around town, and I think it just brings this wonderful energy, particularly in the evenings, to the city, which is fab. And then, do you know, on Sunday it's Run for the Kids, which is really the start of the Good Friday appeal for the Royal Children's Hospital. And so all around Docklands there'll be people running and huffing and puffing, but not me, I'm walking. I'm walking the short course, and I don't feel very brave about only doing that, but at least I am going to be out there having a go as part of Run for the Kids. And so the city will be very busy tomorrow morning, so come on down and have some fun, but don't plan on driving through the Docklands tomorrow.
Yeah, just make sure.
No, we won't be doing that.
You look at the
running and walking.
Bolte Bridge is closed. I don't even need Vic Roads to close the ramps. I read an interesting stat that Victoria tops the nation for live performance attendance. More money is spent on tickets to live shows than anywhere else in the country.
That's right.
That's extraordinary.
And we've also, I think last year we were the live music capital of the world as well. And it really speaks to Melburnians, doesn't it? And the reason why so many people come to visit is because we have these amazing performances and we get out and support them.
Yeah.
And it, again, it just creates that fantastic vibe. So I'm very proud of Melburnians for the way they support all of these.
Have you seen much comedy this season?
Oh, I think I've seen, I've had a good dose already and still more to come, which I'm looking forward to, and some great shows. And in different venues, even at Town Hall. Town Hall's the hub for the comedy festival. And we have performances in... Oh, I know where you're going. Stop. We even have performances in storage rooms and closets and all sorts of things. So it's for audiences big and small. It is creative and it's lovely.
Macca, behave yourself. I know exactly where you're going
so
too.
Yes, so do I.
All right, I'll
why do we give him this material?
I know. It's shocking.
I am genuinely excited about Victoria Market. I think it's been such a long... such a part of Melbourne for so long and, you know, not your fault, but it's been messed around with for decades. Now it's finally going to reach the potential and it's going to actually deliver what the shoppers want, what the stallholders want, what the tourists want. You know, the open space, the car parking, the ability for people, and I love that term, to dwell. It's really going to make a difference and I do think it is... City of Melbourne's biggest cultural asset.
Yeah. Oh, good. I agree.
Yeah.
And it's a very important project to us. And we know that we absolutely need to keep that authenticity of the open market and the heritage, which is what we've been able to do. But we also need to improve that experience for traders. I admire them so much because they really are conducting business in circumstances that are quite archaic. Yeah. You know, no power, no storage, little running water in the open sheds. And also to be able to have staff and retain staff. Yeah. There are absolutely no facilities for our traders at the moment, but there will be. And I think those sorts of things are important because we want the heritage and the authenticity, but it needs to be a modern workplace as well.
Absolutely.
And then, of course,
improving
the experience for shoppers through weatherproofing and places to dwell. How many times have we said it now?
Dwell.
Will be fantastic. And, yes, of course, there will be increased car parking, which will be fantastic.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.